Thank you so much for joining us today. I am with a very special guest on our podcast, Dr. Ned Hallowell, who is a well-renowned psychiatrist, author, dad, podcast host. What am I missing? Ned, anything that I forgot on there?
Oh, Red Sox fan, Patriots fan.
All right, we got that. There you go. There you go. Anyway, we're thrilled to have you on this podcast today because as some of our audience knows, we interview a lot of different types of executives on how they focus and how they refocus. And the reason I'm excited to talk to you today is because you counsel a lot of ADHD kids, teens, adults as well. So I want to talk about them in a minute. But before we do that, you know, you have a long career in this industry. What is your focus in work? What is your focus today that you're working on?
Well, I'm just finishing up my 21st book.
Wow.
Which will come out, God willing, toward the end of this year.
Wow.
It's a new take on ADHD. Our first book on which is Driven to Distraction, first ADD book, and that came out in 1994. Then the next one was Delivered from Distraction. And that was 2005. So now it's 2020. It's time for another one. And there's a lot of new science, new material in this. And the basic thrust is completely reframing this condition as a trait rather than a disorder. And if you manage it properly, it can become a superpower. It can become a tremendous asset. I have it myself. I wouldn't trade it for the world.
Right. And you're in great company because as I mentioned on this show, my son has ADHD and so do I.
I also have dyslexia, which I also wouldn't trade for the world. Another misunderstood condition, you know, so that's what, and then of course I'm working in my offices in Sudbury, Massachusetts, outside of Boston, and my office in New York City. And then next week, we're opening an office in Palo Alto, California.
Wow, I did not know that. For all of you listening, when I've tried to reach Ned, I've had to call each office. And it's hard to keep up with them because they're like, he's in this office today or this office today. but no, that's fantastic. You know, as we were talking before we started here today, I remember my son's in college now, but I remember when he was first diagnosed that you know, from some very close people to me, how when they heard that my son had ADHD, it was looked down upon, or it was almost like a secret or something to hide, and that's so untrue. And as you and I talked about, it's really a blessing. And one of the things that I don't want to say it because I want you to relay it, but one of the stories that I'm going to ask you to say is to all of our listeners is what really inspired me personally with my child was the story about talking with the child about when he had learned that he had ADHD. Would you mind saying that? I know you've said it a million times.
No, sure. It's important, really important, that you frame this condition in a way that a person can feel good about having it. And the medical deficit disorder model certainly does not do that. You know, a deficit disorder? I mean, goodness me. It's completely inaccurate because it's not a deficit of attention. It's an abundance of attention. And the challenge is to control it. And as I say, it's not a disorder, it's a trait. So what I say, let's say I have a little boy sitting in my office with his parents, and I say, well, we've gotten to know you. And I have great news for you. I have really good news for you. You are a very lucky boy because you have a way powerful brain. Your brain is way more powerful than the average brain. Your brain is like a Ferrari. And I said, you know what a Ferrari is? And most little boys nod, yes, I know what a Ferrari is. And sometimes I add in that Captain Underpants, the author of Captain Underpants, has a brain like this too. They all read Dave Pilkey's wonderful books, and he has a Ferrari for a brain as well. And then I say, but there is a problem with having a brain this powerful. Your brakes aren't strong enough to control it. You have bicycle brakes. So you have a Ferrari brain with bicycle brakes. And I say, but don't worry, I'm a brake specialist. And if we work together, we'll strengthen your brakes so you can control your power and win races instead of spinning out on curves.
I love it.
And that's actually a very accurate representation of what ADHD is all about. It's a matter of tremendous power, imagination, creativity, drive, intuition, with trouble controlling it. And fortunately, we have a number of different ways of controlling it. But race car brain with bicycle brakes is a good way of framing it in such a way that a person can be proud of it, but also know there's work to be done.
Right. I love that. And as a matter of fact, when I paraphrase it, I probably don't say it exactly like you did, but I always say they have to learn to put the brakes on so that people can catch up with them because they are so smart. And to see individuals, young and old, light up when I tell them that story, it's really a passion of mine to help reframe the image of what it is. Because there, I deal with a ton of executives in our executive search firm that have ADHD who are brilliant. And as a matter of fact, I've even hired an ADHD coach for myself, as running three businesses, as you can imagine, can get a little busy.
Where did you find the coach?
You know what I did? It's interesting. I will say his name on here. His name is Robert Powell. He's in Canada and he works with business owners. And honestly, I was kind of, it kind of goes back to the point of when my son started working with our company, Refocus, the creative office, and I really thought I was getting dementia. And I went to my doctor. I cannot remember my passwords for anything. And my son actually said, we should create a password book for your clients, which we did. And that's all about our company, Refocus the Creative Office. But when I went to my doctor, she said, look, you have a child with ADHD. You've been a single parent for 10 years. I'm remarried now, but she said, and you run three businesses. You're busy.
You're busy. Yes.
but by hiring a coach, it really helped me to prioritize and to set the tone of where I needed to be in my business today, instead of being the receptionist, the cook, the cleaner, the janitor, and the salesperson all at once. And so that was a really great investment on my part. And so, so with this podcast, what we do is we really try to help people focus, because everybody has a different style. And as many CEOs that talk on here, they go to different areas to focus. And first of all, I'd love to know if you're sitting there with patients and they're saying, hey, I just can't focus and I've got to go on, I've got to give this speech and I'm a senior level executive. What advice would you tell them?
Well, we have to, figure out why they can't focus. And there are many reasons. It doesn't have to be ADHD. So, you don't want to assume that that's what it is. So are you not focused because you're preoccupied with a personal problem? Are you can't focus because you're preoccupied with a medical problem? Or maybe you're depressed, which also causes lack of focus. Maybe you have a severe anxiety disorder, which also causes lack of focus. Maybe have a secret substance abuse problem that you've had trouble talking about, and which also causes lack of focus. So there, you want to be sure before you start marching down the road of ADHD that's in fact what you're dealing with, and ADHD usually comes with other conditions. So if you have one of the ones I just named, that doesn't mean you don't have ADHD. Like in my case, I have both ADHD and dyslexia, which often occur together. Mm-hmm. But once we decide that's what it is, then there are any number of ways to help. But for almost everyone, learning what the condition is step one, education.
Right.
And, obviously I've written books, so I refer them to one of my books, but there are other books. I particularly recommend my books because I take a strength-based approach. I say this is not a disorder, it's a trait. And my job is to help you turn it into an asset, a superpower.
Right.
So we start with education. Then and then if it's an adult, we look at the big picture. Are you married to the right person and do you have the right job? Sort of the keys to success in life in general.
I think I need to sign up for that class. No, I'm just joking. No. right.
Well, people with ADD have a a terrible tendency to fall for train wrecks.
Right. You know, we talked about that earlier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you want to save people. You know, we tend to be very generous, so you look at that, and then you begin to add structure into a person's life, because typically we have trouble organizing, planning, prioritizing, time management, tendency to procrastinate. So you want to add structure in and maybe get a coach to help you do that. These sort of basic lifestyle changes: are you getting enough sleep? Are you exercising enough? Are you eating properly? How about taking up meditation? Because that can really help with focus. Mm-hmm. And then in that context, medication is an option. The stimulant medication, the same medicines we use with children, also work with adults, and they work about 80% of the time. So mm-hmm. 20% of the time they don't work. In my case, they don't work. But 80% of the time they do work. So it's a pretty good batting average. And when the meds work, they're an absolute godsend. You know, they work like eyeglasses. Then there's another intervention that's been around for a while, but it's new in that it's been sort of repackaged and rebranded. And this is specific exercises, physical exercises that stimulate the cerebellum, which is a region at the back of your brain that is in charge of balance and coordination. But it turns out, recent findings from neuroscience, the cerebellum is richly connected to the frontal parts of the front of the brain. And that's where the action is in ADD and dyslexia and dyscalculia. And it turns out by stimulating the cerebellum, by doing exercises that challenge balance, you indirectly stimulate these frontal lobes. And if you do the specific exercises 10 minutes twice a day, in 3 to 6 months, 90% of people who do it will see a dramatic improvement in their symptoms of ADHD, wow. executive function, planning. And that's a big deal. I think the biggest breakthrough I've seen. Obviously there are no side effects. It's not medication, and it's rewiring, because the effect is permanent. Once you learn these new skills that you learn by doing this method, they stick with you.
How can someone find that? So if somebody's listening to that right now, and let's say they don't have ADHD, but they still have a difficulty, you know, focusing or going on stage, sure, whether it's anxiety, sure, where can they find how to do these type of exercises?
Sure, sure. Well, it's, you know, distraction is a challenge for everyone. We live in the age of distraction. So what you can do is go to a website called distraction.zingperformance. Z as in zebra, Z-I-N-G performance. Mm-hmm. .com. So distraction.zingperformance.com. And you'll see an interview with me and the man who invented all of this about 25 years ago, explains it. And it's really exciting.
I think that many of our listeners will probably look into that and take advantage of that, because as you and I said, whether it's, whether it's ADHD or anxiety, or let's just say a very healthy, normal, if there's such a thing, normal person has an argument or a strong discussion, as I always say, with their spouse, let's say they have to present. What I hear a lot is breathing. And I know that's kind of overstated, but it truly does help. It truly does.
Oh, I was just today talking to the president of the U.S. Tennis Association and his chief performance officer. And they have a two-word phrase that they use with the kids who are coming into tennis with the idea of becoming professional players. So these are serious players. And when they get anxious or they can't focus, they tell them to breathe and believe. Mm-hmm. Breathe and believe. So take a few deep breaths, and that does tend to center you. Mm-hmm. And then believe, have a phrase that you use, like, I can do it. Something very simple, but that you hold on to. I can do it. Or, you know, I love my father, or I love my mother, or God is good, or whatever simple phrase you can hold on to and invoke to again, focus you, center you, give you confidence. Breathe and believe. It's a wonderful, simple tool that I just learned from them today. I was talking to them about helping them with their professional athletes get focused?
You know,
how do you do that?
I've done that myself. I actually, I have a couple of degrees, but one of them is in theater. And that was what they would say is when you're going into character, you would say, I am, you know, so-and-so, or I am sad, or I am, you know, and honestly, it does work. It truly does. Yeah. So I can see that in many, many different ways. What about you, Ned? So, you know, you do such a fantastic job of impacting a lot of people, right? But let's say you're having a bad day yourself, right? You know, because you're in the business of helping others, but what about you? Because you can't have great days every day. We're all human. But whether that's just, you know, having an off day or having an argument with someone or your best staff member leaves you, whatever that might be, and you've got to go on and you've got to give this big seminar or you've got to do a great podcast. What do you do personally?
Yeah, but one of my favorite bits of advice that I give to other people, I also follow myself. And it's summed up in three words: never worry alone. So when I'm stressed out, concerned, worried, upset, fearful, what have you, I talk to somebody. When you worry alone, you catastrophize and you globalize and you just brood and ruminate. When you talk to someone, you immediately switch into a problem-solving mode. You may even start laughing, you know. So never worry. There are too many people in today's world are super connected electronically, but they're disconnected interpersonally.
Right.
And so you want to have people in your mental Rolodex that you can call up and talk about anything. Mm-hmm. If no one is available,
I was going to say, well,
if no one is available, I happen to believe in God. So I talk to God. Mm-hmm. I say, God, come on, here I am. You promised me you'd love me and take care of me. I need your help. And I feel a certain comfort, not necessarily get rained down with solutions, but I feel a comfort where my mind will calm. Another tremendous tool, if you will, is get a dog. Dogs are the best.
Yeah.
Dogs are the absolute best at providing hope, help, reassurance, joy, love, warmth. If you can possibly have a dog, get a dog. Dogs, I prescribe dogs all the time. So those are, you know, my tools. It all comes back to connection. Mm-hmm. Connection is the great healer. Connection is the great solver. Connection is what people need so much. And we're living in a terrible time of disconnection where people are just more alone than is good for them. So you know, I prescribe connection to others and I prescribe it to myself.
Right.
It's where the best in life resides is in connection.
You know, when we're considering candidates for positions and they're waiting and they haven't heard if they're going to get the job, they'll call, they'll be anxious. And, you know, I always say this to them. I say, you know, one of my most favorite sayings is what I fear I create. And I said, you know, you're worrying about something that's not happened yet. So, you know, it's okay. It will happen. Or if not, we'll find you something different, you know, but don't create this huge stress, because we create bigger stressors in our life than sometimes what the actual event is.
Yeah. You sound like you're fantastic at your job, because that's just what someone needs to hear. Even if it doesn't work out, we'll find something else.
Absolutely.
You know? So you're a provider of hope, which is wonderful.
You know, I've done it for over 30 years. And I have to say, honestly, we have a very different methodology and we don't just fill jobs. I always try to find out what the passion is of that person and what they want to do. Because I always tell them, I always say, look, if I have a job for you today or tomorrow, or maybe 3 months from now, if I can find you exactly what you're looking for, and a company comes to me and is looking for that, it is a marriage made in heaven. And I said, and if you are not happy in your job, don't waste your life in a job where you're not appreciated and supported.
I tell people to draw three circles. One circle, fill in everything that you really love to do. The next circle, fill in everything that you're really good at doing. And then the third, see where those two overlap and see which of those will someone pay you to do.
I love that.
So those three, what are you really good at? What do you really love to do? And where they overlap, which of those will someone pay you to do? And that should be a career.
I love that. If you weren't doing what you do now and you could pick any other job, or if you could have been somebody else or doing something else, what would it have been?
It would have been several things. I would have been a serial entrepreneur. I would have gone to business school or not. I don't know if you need to have an MBA. You really don't. But I would have interned, or I would have done what my son is doing. My son, Jack, who all three of my kids have ADHD. Jack started off working for New York Life. He graduated from Elon with a degree in entrepreneurialism. He went to work for New York Life. He did well, was named Rookie of the Quarter. But he said, it's just not for me. I'm just not cut out for this. So now he's learning the trade of carpentry.
I love that.
And his idea is to get good at carpentry and then become a contractor and start his own business. So I probably would have done something like that. I might have become a high school English teacher, because the man who changed my life more than anyone else was a high school English teacher.
And you write.
Although I don't. Yeah, and I write, you know, so my first goal when I was in high school was to become a writer. And then when I was in college, I thought, well, it's pretty tough to make a living. So I ought to have some kind of union card that will guarantee me some sort of income. So I thought, well, medical school is a good way to do that. So,
right.
And I didn't want to be a lawyer. I would have been a very good lawyer. My brain is really suited for that, but I didn't want to do it at all. So I went for the more difficult route, which is medical school. But I did that, and very thank God I did. And now I have the combination of being both a doctor and a writer, which I love.
Yeah, absolutely. And I always tell people, and they're not paying us to say this, but attitudemag.com, I always tell everyone I know that they should sign up for their email subscription, especially if they have children with ADHD or ADD, because they can learn so much. I have been able
to. Attitude Magazine is so good, and we should spell it for people. It's ADD.
Yes.
ITUDE, Attitude. And, it is just a spectacular magazine. I visited their offices in New York a few weeks ago, and it's a really small staff, but they are really, really skilled. And every issue has just excellent, excellent articles in it. I happen to write for them, but I'm just one of many who contribute to that magazine. And they do such a great job. You're so right to recommend that. ADD. ITUDE, Attitude. And is it just
Attitude? I think it's attitudemag.com, M-A-G, okay, I think. Okay. So,
well, if you Google Attitude Magazine, you'll get it.
You know, and honestly, I think silently, as a parent of a child with ADHD, I don't think I've ever missed one for the past 10 years of a webinar or a podcast or an article, because it feeds my soul on how to help others. You know, when I hear parents hear that, like I said, that they have a child with ADHD, I blossom with lots of advice and say, you know, this is something that you should look at. So, and they do.
It's great news. You know, when you discover you have ADD, it's great news,
yeah,
because you can really do something about it.
So I am so happy that you were able to join our podcast today. Dr. Hollowell, there is one question that we ask every guest that's on our podcast, and I just can't let this go without asking you today. But when you are getting ready to go interview that very awesome guest that you've been dying to meet with, or meet with that person or speak, and you get in your car and you're driving there and you put on, it might be a podcast, it might be music, it might be something, what is it that you listen to?
It would always be some piece of classical music that I love, and I can choose from many.
Oh, please. Yes.
It could be the Four Seasons. It could be Beethoven's Fourth Piano Concerto. It could be Dvorak's New World Symphony, which I'm going to hear in New York on Wednesday. It could be Bach, anything, the Well-Tempered Clavier. Could be another Beethoven symphony or sonata. It could be Mozart's Jupiter Symphony. Any of those. I mean, anything really by Mozart, anything by Beethoven, anything by Bach. And I happen to love the Four Seasons. I happen to love Vivaldi. So almost anything by Vivaldi. That kind of music, just it just presses a button in my brain where I join the music and I leave behind my worries and stresses and concerns, and it's uplifting.
Yes.
If I had to pick one, if I'm in that kind of mood, I'd probably go to the Four Seasons. Number two would be Beethoven's Fourth Piano Concerto.
Awesome.
And number three would be Dvorak's New World Symphony. So
wonderful.
There you have it.
So now our guests now have a whole new playlist.
My kids would laugh at me. They'd say, "Dad, you're such an old fart." And they would want some, you know, rock music that I love too. I mean, Bruce Springsteen would be right there. I mean, you know, so.
I got to tell you, our producer in the back, when I interviewed producers, he had a poster of Bruce Springsteen in the back. And I went, I like him already.
exactly. So that would be, but.
Awesome.
Well, Angela, you're wonderful. I thank you for having me on your podcast.
Well, thank you for all the years of support that you've given to me personally. And like I said, I had a list of people. We've got 29. We just launched about a month ago. We've got 29 executives already scheduled to be on this podcast.
Fantastic.
We've launched seven. And let me tell you, Dr. Hollowell, if I could have tracked you down, you would have been number one. So, but thank you for being in that top 10. So I appreciate
You're
it.
You're so kind.
All right.
Okay. I've got to go
All
do
right.
my other thing.
You bet.
Thanks for having
you
me.
You bet. Thanks so much. Okay.
Take care. Bye-bye.
This week's podcast is sponsored by Refocus, the Creative Office, where all of their products are created through the eyes of a child with ADHD. They create products that make your life easier. You can find out more about them at their website, which is time2refocus.com. That's T-I-M-E, the number two, refocus.com. So time2refocus.com. I think you'll be really excited to see what they have to offer. They have password books. Yes, password books, calendars, academic calendars, legal pads, magnet pads, and they have even redesigned the pillbox. Yes, the pillbox. Check them out. I think you're going to enjoy that. See you next time. And I can't wait for you to hear who's on our podcast. He's a well-known guest, and I think you're really going to enjoy him.